Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. The congregation at Johnson City expresses their appreciation for your willingness to allow me to be with them this last week. The meeting went well. That was kind of a last-minute notice. They had Brother Walker scheduled for that gospel meeting, and because he's still in the hospital, he wasn't allowed to be there. And so they asked me if I would be willing to step in. And so they do appreciate you and your willingness to allow me to do that. I certainly enjoyed being with them. As you know, I preached there for 10 years. I actually started with the congregation when I started my second year. I don't know why. I did that as a student, trying to start a full-time work, being a full-time student. That's been my weakness. It seems like I sometimes try to take on more than I can do. But that's what I did, and they were patient with me, and we really built a good relationship over the years, and I love the brethren there so much. But as I was spending time with the brethren, it really reminded me of the work that we're doing here at Lake Country. I cannot believe that the time goes by so fast. We're coming up on 3 years being with this great congregation, and it's truly a blessing to be able to be with a congregation, to grow in our love for one another, and our friendships. And I'm so thankful for this congregation, and I'm thankful for the love that we have for each other. And I'm certainly looking forward to being with you, working with you, growing in our relationships with one another. This morning, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. This morning, as we begin our lesson, we're going to spend just a little bit of time in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to bounce around just a little bit in the book of Hebrews. There are four contexts that we're going to be looking at from the book of Hebrews, and we're looking at these four contexts as a way of introduction. And the first context is going to be found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse number 39. Now, as you're turning over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39, as we focus our attention on the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written to encourage faithfulness. I want you to keep that thought in mind. It was written to encourage faithfulness. As you think about faithfulness, I'm sure one chapter that comes to mind is chapter 11, where the writer is encouraging faithfulness and the importance of faithfulness. And the writer mentions several examples of those who were faithful to God. Faithfulness is important. It's something that we should think about. And this morning, as we talk about faithfulness from the book of Hebrews, and as we focused on several points that encourage faithfulness, I realize what I'm going to mention this morning is nothing new. You've heard lessons on faithfulness, and I'm sure the points that I'm going to mention this morning are points that you heard of before. But you know, as we think about what Peter said in his writings in 2 Peter chapter 1 and also 2 Peter chapter 3, it's important for us to stir ourselves up, spiritually speaking, by way of remembrance. Even though we know these things, even though we heard these things, it's important for us to continue to hear these things, to encourage one another to be faithful. As I think about faithfulness from the book of Hebrews, there are Old Testament passages that I have in my mind that serve as a background to the book of Hebrews. And I'm just going to mention one of those passages. In Hosea chapter 6, verse number 4, God said this about His people: "Your faithfulness is as the morning dew, and as the early clouds, it goes away." You see what God is saying about their faithfulness? It doesn't last. It was there, but no longer are you faithful. It has gone away. We don't want that to happen to us as the children of God. We want to receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. 1 Peter 1, verse number 9. I like that verse. The end of your faith. We want to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse number 10. Well, as we now turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 10, we're reading about Christians who were struggling with faithfulness. Maybe you have struggled with faithfulness. Maybe you know somebody that has struggled with faithfulness. Well, we're reading about Christians here in the book of Hebrews that were struggling with faithfulness. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's read verse number 38, verse number 39. Notice how verse 38 starts. The just shall live by faith. That is really the theme of the book. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man shall draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now again, there were those, as we're going to see, there were those that the writer was addressing that were drawing back from their faith, from their faithfulness to God. We don't want to be drawing back. We want to be pressing forward with our faith, as Paul would say in Philippians 3, verse number 14, pressing toward that mark so that we can receive the end of our faith, that eternal reward, which is the salvation of your souls. Don't be drawing back. Look at another context, if you would, from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. As I said, the writer was addressing those who were drawing back. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. The writer says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. He says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer is describing them as spiritual babes in Christ. Now we understand there is a time for being a babe in Christ when we obey the gospel, being a new convert. But after we become a Christian, we are to grow and we are to develop. We are to progress from the milk of God's Word to the meat of God's Word to be that mature Christians. Again, the writer is addressing those who didn't develop spiritually speaking. Their faith was lacking. They should be stronger. They should be further along spiritually speaking, but that wasn't the case. Remember, they were drawing back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Two more contexts. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice with me beginning at verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should slip. By the way, the word therefore will point you back to the first two chapters. And you can sum up the two chapters by saying, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. Jesus Christ has all authority. Jesus Christ is superior, so we need to hear Him. And we see the application now here in chapter 2, verse 1. We should listen to Jesus. Now listen to the language. Lest, the King James, lest we slip. Other translations, lest we drift away. I like that idea there in verse number 1 of drifting away, because it really centers around our subject this morning. We notice from Hebrews 10, verse 38, they were drawing back. Hebrews 2, they were drifting away. beginning with verse number 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" What is the writer encouraging them to do, to be faithful? Not to neglect their salvation, but to run the race that is set before him. And by the way, that race that the writer is going to talk about in Hebrews chapter 12 is speaking about the Christian life and being faithful in this Christian life. Let's read our last context found in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, we are to strive for faithfulness. That's what all of these contexts, these passages that we're reading encourage us to do, to strive for faithfulness. Now, after Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Be faithful. Now, based upon what we've read up to this point, based upon faithfulness, do you want to be a faithful Christian? That's the question that we're asking this morning. Do you want to be a faithful Christian? Do you want this more than anything? Think about those questions from the passages that we've just read together. Do you want to be faithful? And number two, do you want this more than anything? And then number three, are you striving for faithfulness? Do you spend time working on being faithful? Do you realize that the Bible encourages us to work out? Now, before you say something, let me finish. It encourages us to work out spiritually speaking. And we see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, where Paul says that we're to exercise ourselves unto godliness, for bodily exercise profits only a little bit. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Spiritually speaking, we are to work out. Spiritually speaking, we are to exercise our faith so that our faith will grow, so that our faith will be mature, so that at the very end we will be found faithful. Again, we want to be found faithful. We want to finish what we have started. And so do we spend time working on this? Well, in our lesson this morning, I want to mention some things. Things that you already know, that you've already heard of, but things that I want to remind you of that will help you achieve faithfulness. What does it take to be faithful? Well, first of all, it takes desire. If we're going to be faithful, it takes desire. Notice with me what the Apostle Peter says. This is the verse that we really want to focus on. In 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If we're going to be faithful, it takes desire. This desire to grow, this desire to develop, spiritually speaking. And we see from verse number 2 that if we're going to grow, we're going to have a desire, a craving for the Word of God. And so as we grow in God's Word helps us mature. You see why we read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14? They were showing immaturity. God wants us to show maturity. And we mature, we develop through a desire to grow, and we look at God's Word as our spiritual food that helps us grow. We are to feast upon the Word of God. Listen to what David said in Psalm 119, verse number 10. With my whole heart I have sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Again, oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. You realize what is going to happen to you, what would happen to me if we set this down and if we closed it and if we wandered away from the Word of God? We'll be drifting away from God. We will find ourselves slipping away, and before you know it, we will fall away. If we're going to be faithful, we have to have a true desire to grow. And we see this attitude in Psalm 27, verse number 4, where David says, "This one thing I desire," and he's going to mention that. The one thing that he desired was to know the Lord. And this is the only way that we will come to know the Lord, by reading, by studying, by living out the Word of God. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 2 and following. "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Oh, it takes a desire to know God's Word, to learn God's Word, to take the Word of God in, to digest God's Word. And that's the point. When we digest God's Word, it becomes a part of who we are, and it helps us to grow. It helps us to develop. If we're going to be faithful, it takes desire. Now, we're going to mention several things, and so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each point. What does it take to grow? Number two, it takes discipline. And this is a good point for us to think about. If we're going to be faithful to God, it takes discipline. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, we learn that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. God says a lot about ourselves in His Word. And when I read Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it reminds me, you know what? I need God's direction. I need God's help. It's not in man to direct his own steps. The Bible also warns me about being guided by my emotions. In Proverbs 14, verse number 12, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, God teaches us how to be that disciplined person. Let me read a passage to you from the book of Romans. Notice with me Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. Let's read a couple of passages together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. Listen to what Paul says. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." What is verse 14 talking about? Talking about the discipline. We have to learn to say no to some things. Remember, the devil, he's going to dangle some things in front of us. He's going to tempt us. He's going to entice us. He's going to show us that worm. He's going to want us to take the bait. If we're going to be faithful, we're going to have to learn to say no. We're going to have to learn to resist the devil. The language of James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." That takes discipline. If we're going to be faithful, we have to be disciplined. I guess one of the greatest passages, though, on discipline, self-discipline, is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's read verse number 24 and following. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and following. And again, if you take notes in your Bible by verse 24, you may want to jot down self-discipline. self-discipline, because that's what Paul is encouraging here. Self-discipline. Listen to what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see what Paul is encouraging us to do here in these verses? As you strive for faithfulness, as you are living the Christian life, you strive to be disciplined. How do we do that? Verse number 27. You do that by examining yourself, by practicing self-examination like David did. Well, one of the greatest contexts, I believe, on self-discipline or self-examination is actually found in Psalm 119, verse 59 and 60, where David says, I thought on my ways. I thought about how I live, and I turned my feet unto your testimonies, and I made haste to delay not to keep thy commandments. Self-examination was something that David practiced on a daily basis. Practicing that self-discipline. Becoming stronger and stronger spiritually speaking. Now as we think about self-discipline from the passages that we just read, I want you to think about these points as it relates to discipline. Discipline is an ongoing process, not a quick fix. It's an ongoing process, not a quick fix. The language of Philippians 2 verse 12, salvation is something that we have to work out on a continual basis, examining ourselves. And I promise you, as you think about the subject of discipline and as it relates to self-examination, if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, every time I open this Word and as I study it, I'm going to realize that there are some things that I can do differently. There are some things that I can improve in that will help my relationship. And here it is. When I recognize those things by being honest with myself, examining the Scriptures, examining my life, when I recognize those things and I make application of those things, I'm practicing self-discipline. And that is a process that continues on and on and on as we live the Christian life. Notice the second thing about self-discipline. If we're honest, we realize that self-discipline involves a lot of work. What do you mean by that? Discipline, self-discipline, is not something that comes naturally. We might say that discipline is not a miraculous gift. If we're going to practice discipline, it's going to take a lot of work on our part. We're going to have to study. We're going to have that desire, that determination to grow, to develop. It takes a lot of work on our part. And then number three, discipline means keeping your eye on the goal. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, a section that we've already read. That's why discipline is necessary in being faithful to God, because being disciplined helps us realize what we're living for. It helps us keep our eye on the goal. And there's some things that we cannot do if we're going to be faithful to God. There are some things that we cannot participate if we're going to be faithful to God. And that's the context of the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. You just can't live any way that you want. You have to be disciplined. It's an ongoing process. It involves a lot of hard work. It involves us keeping our eyes on the goal. It involves us managing our time. redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Discipline helps us take this Christian life seriously. And if we're disciplined, you know we're going to spend time with the Lord every day. We're going to spend time reading His Word every day. We're going to spend time talking to God, communing with God every day through prayer, through a study of His Word. Discipline. It means managing your time. And so we learn that if we're going to be faithful, not only are we to have a true desire, but we are to practice discipline. And if you want to combine the two, desire without discipline, a lot of times will lead to confusion and chaos. You have a lot of people that have desire, but they practice no discipline. What it takes to be faithful. Number three, it takes dedication. And really, dedication is a personal matter. Much like self-discipline, it's a personal matter. We're talking about learning to be dedicated, committed to God. As Paul would say in Galatians 2, verse number 20, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ Jesus that lives in me. Dedication to the Lord. I can't live your Christian life for you. You can't live my Christian life for me. Now, we can encourage one another and we can exhort one another, but dedication is personal. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 9, verse number 23. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need dedication like we see in Daniel. Sometimes we lose sight or we overlook these great examples in the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Friends, that is dedication. Or what about the dedication of Ezra? In Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, who prepared his heart to hear the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach the Word of God to others. Again, that is dedication. But one passage that speaks of dedication in the New Testament is found in Romans 12, verse number 9, where Paul says that we're to be fervent in spirit. You may want to circle the word fervent in Romans 12, verse number 9, and ride out the word fire. Literally, that's what it means. To be on fire for the Lord. That is, if we are truly dedicated, we're going to be enthusiastic about who we are as the children of God. We're going to be glad to be here this morning in attendance to worship God. We're going to be enthusiastic about learning God's Word, having that spiritual appetite as we talked about earlier. We're going to be enthusiastic when it comes to our giving. We're going to be excited about everything that centers around the Christian life. Faithfulness. Dedication. If we're going to be faithful, we're seeing what it takes. It takes desire. It takes discipline. It takes dedication. Here's another word. Think about this fourth point. Devotion. Devotion. This reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse number 24. No man could serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Devotion. Being devoted to God. Loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. That's what it takes to be faithful. Now I hope we're practicing self-examination, because as we look at each one of these points, we should be asking ourselves, does that describe my faithfulness? Am I that devoted to God? Again, we can't serve God half-heartedly. We have to make up our mind who we're going to serve, and everybody serves somebody. But we're the ones that have to make that determination who we're going to be devoted to. As you think about devotion, we need to make application of devotion in every area of life. If you're a father, if you're a husband, challenge yourself to be a better father, a better husband, wife, mother, or whatever capacity we're talking about in relationships. Be more devoted. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24 encourages us, whatever we do, we need to do so heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. If we're going to be faithful, it takes devotion. Number five, it takes determination. Faithfulness takes determination. You see, it's amazing what a person can do when they're determined to accomplish something. And we see what people have accomplished throughout history because of their determination. Spiritually speaking, we need to have the same determination. We need to exhibit that same determination that we see people exhibiting in the world and accomplishing amazing things. Spiritually speaking, we need to aim high. Spiritually speaking, we need to reach for the stars. Oh, you see people doing that in the secular world. You see that determination and look at the things that they accomplish, the empires that people can accomplish through determination. Why don't we apply the same thing spiritually speaking? Why don't we have that same kind of determination? You know what? Spiritually speaking, I'm going to grow. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, determination to grow. You look at your life just this past year. Just this past year. Can you say, can I say, honestly speaking, that I have grown spiritually speaking? If not, this morning would be a great opportunity, a great time to have that determination. You know what? I'm thinking about what the preacher said in his lesson from God's Word. And listen, I want to be faithful. I really want to be faithful. And this morning, I'm going to have that determination to be stronger, to be more of a spiritual nature in everything that I do. Notice this sixth point, and just a couple of more. The sixth point, if we're going to be faithful, it takes discernment. And a lot of the points that we're making come from the passages that we've already looked at in the book of Hebrews. It takes discernment. That would be Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. Why we need to be on the meat of God's Word. Why? So that we can have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. As we go through this life, we have to practice discernment. We have to recognize what is good and what is bad, what is holy and what is unholy, and we have to make good choices. We have to have our spiritual senses exercised to discern between good and evil, to make good decisions. And when we make good decisions, we are showing faithfulness to God. There's a process when it comes to spiritual discernment. And that is seen in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 10. And again, it goes back to learning God's Word, applying God's Word to discern between good and evil. But I'm wanting you to see that when we practice discernment, we are striving to be faithful to God. And the last point that I want to mention, the last thing that will help us be faithful, and there are many more that you can mention, is diligence. Now, as you think about these words, each of these words has a key passage. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. As we finish our lesson this morning, we want to do so by reading 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse number 5. And you're going to see the point that we're making. The last point. Look at it, verse 5. Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence. There's our word. If we're going to be faithful, we have to practice diligence. We are to be diligent, Peter says, in these things. Add to your faith virtue. Here's the idea. You be diligent in adding to your faith virtue or this moral courage, the idea of virtue, moral courage in doing what is right. Again, you are diligent in these areas. And then you add to virtue knowledge. You're diligent in growing in knowledge. You're diligent in practicing temperance. And in temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now watch verse 8. For if, it's conditional. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, here's our word again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Do you see why diligence is so important when it comes to faithfulness? We can make our calling, our election sure. What does that mean? You can know whether or not you're going to go to heaven. You can know whether or not you're saved. You can know whether or not you are faithful this morning. Are you being diligent in these things? What really matters is being faithful to God. We started off with the passage in 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. If we're going to be faithful, we must have a desire. We must be disciplined. We must practice dedication, devotion. We have to have determination. We have to practice discernment and diligence. And these things will help us to be faithful. Are we drifting? Are we neglecting our salvation? Or are we being faithful to God? I hope you have the desire to be faithful. I hope you're doing everything that you can to work out your own salvation. And I pray that we will continue to study God's Word daily, over and over again, reminding us of these things that we find in God's Word that will help us to be faithful. If we're found unfaithful, it will be the worst day of our life. We don't want to be found unfaithful. We want God to find us faithfully, serving Him all of the days of our life. This morning, if we can help you be faithful, praying with you, talking with you from God's Word, we would love to assist you this morning in helping you be faithful. If you never obeyed the gospel, this morning is a wonderful opportunity to become faithful to God by obeying His Word. If we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.